This is Archer of Archer Radio, and today we have the boyfriend with us. Say hello, boyfriend.
Hello, boyfriend.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm just doing very well, too.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you, too. You're such a mother. Get it? We might call my mother later on the show and wish her a happy Mother's Day, okay?
I just wanted to say that you're pregnant, and I don't think many of your listeners know that.
I know my belly looks like I'm pregnant, but I'm really not. Well, goodness knows you've tried.
You're having my baby.
You've tried to make me pregnant several times.
And it worked.
What are we going to name it?
Well, that depends if it's a boy or a girl. We don't know yet, do we?
We don't, but let's say it's a boy. What would you name it?
I like some of the old medieval names.
No, like what?
Ethelred.
Is that one name, or is it Ethel?
That's one name. One name, Ethelred. You know, we could name him after the first king of Britain.
Who was that?
Egbert.
Egbert. That's an interesting name. What if it's a girl?
Eunice.
Eunice. Okay.
Aren't those pretty names?
They're gorgeous names, yes. And I can't imagine the fun that kids would make of their names when they go to school.
Egbert and Eunice.
Oh, my God. What if they're twins?
Egbert and Eunice.
Okay. What if it's two boys, then?
Egbert and Albert.
Okay. Well, anyway, last night on Saturday Night Live, Al Gore did the opening to the show, and it was a great little skit. It was about pretending that he was made president in 2000, and he talked about all the different things. But anyway, take a couple minutes and listen to this clip, because, of course, I captured it for you to listen to, and we'll talk about it in just a second. By the way, boyfriend, did you see it yet?
No.
He's going to watch it right now. So let's listen to this.
Parallel Earths.
And now, a message from the President of the United States.
Overwhelmingly made the decision to elect me as your 43rd president. I knew the road ahead would be difficult. We have accomplished so much, yet challenges lie ahead. In the last 6 years, we have been able to stop global warming. No one could have predicted the negative results of this. Glaciers that once were melting are now on the attack. As you know, these renegade glaciers have already captured parts of Upper Michigan and Northern Maine, but I assure you, we will not let the glaciers win. Right now, in the second week of May 2006, we are facing perhaps the worst gas crisis in history. We have way too much gasoline. Gas is down to 19 cents a gallon, and the oil companies are hurting. I know that I am partly to blame by insisting that cars run on trash. I am therefore proposing a federal bailout to our oil companies because, hey, if it were the other way around, you know the oil companies would help us. And on a positive note, we worked hard to save welfare, fix Social Security, and, of course, provide the free universal health care we all enjoy today. But all this came at a high cost. As I speak, the gigantic national budget surplus is down to a perilously low $11 trillion. And don't get any ideas. That money is staying in the very successful lockbox. We're not touching it. Of course, we could give economic aid to China or lend money to the Saudis again. But right now, we're already so loved by everyone in the world that American tourists can't even go over to Europe anymore without getting hugged. There are some of you who would like to spend our money on some made-up war. To you, I say, what part of lockbox don't you understand? What if there's a hurricane or a tornado? Unlikely, I know, because of the anti-hurricane and tornado machine I was instrumental in helping to develop. What if? What if the scientists are right and one of those giant glaciers hits Boston? That's why we have the lockbox. As for immigration, Solving that came at a heavy cost, and I personally regret the loss of California. However, the new Mexifornian economy is strong, and El Presidente Schwarzenegger is doing a great job. There have been some setbacks. Unfortunately, the confirmation process for Supreme Court Justice Michael Moore was bitter and divisive. However, I could not be more proud of how the House and Senate pulled together to confirm the nomination of Chief Justice George Clooney. Baseball, our national pastime, still lies under the shadow of steroid accusations. But I have faith in Baseball Commissioner George W. Bush when he says, we will find the steroid users if we have to tap every phone in America. In 2001, when I came into office, our national security was the most important issue. The threat of terrorism was real. Who knew that 6 years later, Afghanistan would be the most popular spring break destination, or that Six Flags Tehran is the fastest growing amusement park in the Middle East? And the scariest thing we Americans have to fear is live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Okay, what did you think about that, sweetheart?
That was hilarious.
Was it? Did you think any of that could have come true?
Well, when you consider that Al Gore really was the president, and I would have to think that Al Gore or anyone with half a brain and sense of responsibility would have read that August 2001 memo saying that Al-Qaeda was set to strike targets in the United States. I have to think that that might not have happened, and along with all the other things, I mean, the country is such a mess right now. The surplus is gone, the gas prices, I mean, so you just wonder what could have been.
Well, I know that I would have loved it if the gas prices were 19 cents a gallon.
Yeah, I know, and the CEOs of Exxon had to
needed a bailout from the government. But Supreme Court Justice George Clooney, I don't know if I get that one. I thought he was a conservative guy.
George Clooney, no, liberal.
Okay, I didn't know that. Anyway, so that was fun. That was a cute little beginning of Saturday Night Live.
It was cute. Maybe he'll run in 2008.
You think so?
I don't think so, but
I don't think so either. Anything is possible. Well, let's see. What do we do this weekend? Because today, we're not supposed to say what today is. Well, I'm going to say it. Today's Sunday, Mother's Day.
Okay.
What do we do this weekend?
Well, we began by having pizza Friday night.
Oh, that's right at my house.
And Archer made that pizza with his two little hands.
I ordered
it
online.
He shredded the cheese. He sliced the onions.
There were no onions on
that
pizza.
He minced the garlic.
There were no onions or garlic in that pizza.
What do you think was in the tomato sauce?
Tomato paste and water. Right?
Really?
And some spices.
Really?
I don't know.
I know. That's been my point. But anyway.
He's had that point all weekend.
Yes. Anyway, so we had pizza, which Archer prepared with his fingers and the telephone. And then,
actually, I didn't use the telephone. I ordered it online.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And then on...
But let's say we had a bottle of Echelon Pinot Noir.
A cheap Pinot Noir that was actually tasty. It was good.
But the point about that bottle of wine, it was the very first bottle of wine I bought with the boyfriend more than a year ago.
It was special.
It was special.
And then we decided we're going to get some stickers for our Virginia wine passports. We went to three wineries. Two were not very good.
On this show you can say they were terrible, because this has nothing to do with the wine show.
Well, one was not very good, the other was very terrible, and then the third was actually very good, and that was Tarara.
Right.
Tarara, which is Ararat spelled backwards.
Yeah, this is the winery that has angels
It's not that one. That is an old folklore, and they told that story, and so now you think that they're religious freaks.
They are religious freaks.
Who cares? It's not like they're pelting you with scripture when you walk through the door.
Well, they wanted to pray before the tasting.
No, they didn't.
I'm just kidding.
You're silly.
I am silly.
So we had lunch there. And of course, we had a bottle of Chardonnay, which Archer enjoyed tremendously until I reminded him, or I told him that it had been an oaked Chardonnay. And then he said, oh, well, I thought there was something about that I didn't like after he had a glass of it.
I already knew that it was an oaky
Chardonnay.
No,
you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You're highly suggestible.
I am highly suggestible, but I knew that Chardonnay was
oaky. When it comes to your food issues, you are highly suggestible. So if I had said, oh, that Chardonnay was blended with artichoke juice. Oh, I thought I tasted something funny.
I would have definitely said that.
And I would have said, I was lying. It was not
there
aged
was no
with artichoke juice.
Yeah, yuck. But I was, besides the wine, what else this weekend was like that? Where I said, you know, that we...
Oh, the rice. We had rice for dinner last night.
Oh, yeah.
And you were looking at it. And you started your picking maneuvers.
Well, because I saw
your picking strategies.
Little green things
looking
in there.
Looking just anything. Anything that might be unusual, start picking it. Honey, what did you put in the rice as you're picking? And I said, you can stop your picking. Because I cooked that box of rice-a-roni you had in the cabinet.
Was it really rice-a-roni?
It was rice-a-roni.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
What kind of rice-a-roni was it, though?
The same rice-a-roni you cook all the time with the pasta and rice.
Okay.
And the little flavoring packet. You've had it 20 times.
And we had steak, too. Actually, the whole meal was purchased at Target.
Yeah, that's right.
I've never been to Target grocery store before, had you?
Neither, no.
But the steak was pretty good.
It was good.
Yeah, I thought so. Of course, the boyfriend had to get a bunch of asparagus.
Asparagus.
And he bought this, oh my God, this nasty-smelling garlic.
It's a marinade, because Archer has nothing in his kitchen to make a marinade. So I decided, rather than just buy a whole bunch of ingredients that will never be used, I will just buy a bottle of stuff that's already jarred. And it was just like garlic and lemon and olive oil and whatever. To most people, it was a run-of-the-mill McCormick's seasoning mix. To Archer, it was tantamount to finding arsenic.
It smelled so bad, though.
He was afraid of it. He was afraid of the asparagus.
Well, because you were chasing
me backing. Oh, I was chasing him with asparagus.
He was chasing me around the kitchen with asparagus that had been marinating in this nasty smelling stuff. And he was flicking it around and got it on the floor, got
anything
it on the counter.
Anything with salt and pepper was nasty and smelly to
you. No, salt and pepper's fine.
You think every food scent is foreign. Well, if you smell any food item, you think it's nasty foreign food.
Honey, it's
when really it's just salt and pepper.
Honey, it stunk up the house and the refrigerator. Did you notice I put the lid on that stuff?
Oh, you had to disinfect the refrigerator because it had food smells in it.
It smelled like garlic. And you said, if I eat this, you won't want to kiss me all night.
No. That was the garlic spread that.
Oh, okay. That I got as a gift. Yeah. Well, either way, it was and the thing is, you're taking that asparagus home. I'm not having that in my house.
I think you should eat the asparagus.
But I ate so much of it last night.
In your dreams.
I don't remember my dreams from last night.
You were eating asparagus.
Is that why I was having a nightmare?
No, that's why I heard you say in your sleep, oh, that's so good. Give me more asparagus. Give me more asparagus.
What were you doing awake?
Well, I was listening to you. You're making eating noises. And then you kept saying, oh, that's so good. Oh, asparagus is so good. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
I'd say, honey, just roll over. You'll have some asparagus in the morning.
You're totally making that up.
I know. That's what you were saying.
You're totally making it up.
Nope.
Yeah, well, whatever. And then today we just went to the wine store and to lunch.
Well, because I went to a wine class and they had some Bordeaux's. The ports in Bordeaux that I was interested in getting, but they didn't have any there.
Uh-uh.
So that was kind of a fruitless venture. And then we went to the place where Archer has taken many of his first dates.
Not first dates, just dates.
Chicken out. Chicken out.
We shouldn't be telling people that.
Well, that's what you told me.
I know, but I wasn't saying it on the podcast.
Well,
we had, it wasn't very good because, first of all, the guy fucked up my order. I said a quarter white chicken, and he gave me a quarter dark
chicken.
Well,
I got a quarter white, and it was like a chicken on, steroids.
I was going to say, I think you got half a chicken.
It was very dry.
It was kind of dry. But anyway.
Thank God for those steamed vegetables. That was the only thing both of us could eat.
I ate the macaroni and cheese.
I want to pretend that those were steamed vegetables.
They were orange. Like carrots.
Which you've never eaten. You claim that's the only vegetable you'll eat, and you refuse to eat them.
So. I do not eat them cooked.
You're full of crap.
I will eat them raw, but I will not eat them cooked.
So you will eat a carrot raw.
Yes.
But you have to have a steak burnt.
Yes. Okay. That's right, because last night when he was cooking the steaks. See, this is what you should learn. Put my steaks on first. Walk away for 15 minutes. Then throw yours on.
This is how I operate.
For 35 seconds,
I will cook the steak. You can burn it. So I will put your steak on. When it is done, I will simply say that your steak is cooked. You may now burn it.
My steak is cooked according to you, according to your likes.
Oh, you should have seen this maneuver last night with the fork and knife, poking and prodding at the burning steak to make certain that not one drop of moisture remained in the steak.
Did you see all that blood that was coming out of those holes? That tells me it's not done.
Well, if there was any doubt, that cow was dead.
But I like my steak done.
Well, this literally could have been shoe leather when you were done with it.
Well, it probably was, but it was good. Oh my God, it was so good.
As long as you enjoyed it.
It was so good. Well, listen, so what did you do for your mother for Mother's Day?
I sent her flowers.
Did she get them?
Yeah.
Good. What did your dad do for your mother for Mother's Day?
I haven't talked to them yet.
Oh. Well, would you like to call my mother and see if she's home?
Sure.
And I'll ask her some things. But here's the thing. Now, my mother does not understand technology, so we both can't talk. Because
You can do all the talking.
Okay. But I'm going to do it through Skype because, as you know, I have it set up that I can call through Skype. And if we get her voice, I'm letting it ring now. If we get a voicemail, I'll just leave her another message, because I already called her once today. It's ringing. Do you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I hope she's home.
Hi, it's Martha. I can't come to the phone right now.
God.
Please leave a message, and I will call you back soon.
Hi, Marthy. It's me again. I'm just calling to see if you were home to wish you a happy Mother's Day again and find out what you did today. I'll try to call you back later. Bye. Well, she wasn't there. I wonder where she is.
Maybe enjoying Mother's Day with a sibling. You have enough of them.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe she's at my sister's house. I don't know. Anyway, so what kind of week do you have coming up? Do you have a busy week coming up?
I have at least 200 essays to grade.
200? Yeah. Have you already collected them?
Well, I collected half of them on Friday and the other half tomorrow.
Oh, God, that sucks.
Yes, it really does.
But you only have like 20 days of school left.
That's right.
And I have 25.
Ha ha.
Yeah, ha ha ha. What are we doing next weekend, by the way?
Well, we have been invited to go to the ribbon cutting at Grey Ghost Winery. They are going to have an official opening of their new tasting room.
Oh.
So we got an invite. They have a reception afterwards. And they have a speaker there who is editor of Virginia Wine Magazine. And they just won gold medal with their Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yay.
So we're going to do that next Saturday, but other than that, I don't think we have any plans.
I don't think we do have any plans. We did some writing this weekend. We're going to finish up some writing next weekend, and that's about it.
I know that by next weekend you'll need Spanky Poos.
For what?
For whatever silliness you're going to commit.
Oh, speaking of silliness.
Oh, well.
At Tarara, you were the silliest thing there.
I don't think so. You were acting very poorly.
No.
Yes, you were.
I don't think. What was I doing?
You were
See, he can't
making funny faces once I revealed the Chardonnay was heavily oaked.
I don't think so.
Then you started to...
I was poking you in the side. You didn't like that.
That's true. You were doing that. And then you got up on the picnic table and started doing the twist.
I did not.
And the Macarena.
The Macarena.
Whatever they call it.
There wasn't any music playing out there.
And well, you were singing. You were making your own music.
Oh, was I?
Yes. And then you followed Shadow the dog, the winery dog, to the pond, and you went swimming with the dog.
Well, at least I wasn't feeding it this time like you were.
No.
You were feeding it Chardonnay jelly on toast.
No.
Yes, you were.
No. Now, we have to say, we were followed all day long by a ridiculous limousine Hummer.
It was a stretch Hummer.
Full of 20-somethings.
Easily.
Buying bottles of wine and drinking it in the...
They literally followed us from winery to winery. We started out at Lost Creek, and they showed up. And I said to the boyfriend, we need to get out of here before this limousine follows us over to Hidden Brook. And sure enough, they followed us over to Hidden Brook. And I didn't hear that they were going to Tarara next, but
then they showed up.
Then they showed up at Tarara. And when they came out from their tasting, they had... How many bottles did I count? 19?
16 or something.
No,
like
19.
That.
19 open bottles of wine for 15 people.
They were crocked.
I bet they were too. That was the third winery they'd been to.
Yeah.
And they just got into this big Hummer limousine and...
Well, that's too bad because they weren't there to enjoy wine. They were there just to get drunk.
Exactly. And they were all smoking. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's a good thing we don't have those bad habits.
I know. My goodness, I can't even imagine. But anyway, I think I told you this before. Did you hear that GM is not going to make the Hummer anymore? The big one?
Well, I would assume it's because no one's buying them anymore.
Exactly, no one's buying them.
Those are ridiculous vehicles anyway.
Except for the
state of
Texas.
I never really got that.
Well, it was like the whole military thing. They got popular because the military had them.
Yeah, but why? What?
So you could be
who
as
needed
butch.
Them? Who?
Nobody. Nobody. So you could be as butch as the military people, I guess. I don't know.
No, it's just because you can have one in America. It's big. It's frivolous. It's wasteful, and we have it just because we can.
Well,
that's how we've been living for the past few years.
I think you're right about
Look
that.
Look at these ridiculous McMansions. These absurd homes being built in this area. They're ugly.
They are.
They're big. They're architecturally insignificant. I mean, beyond ugly. Windows where windows shouldn't be. Different styles. Tudor roofs with Georgian facades. And I mean, just Frankenstein homes. Terrible, ugly, big homes. For a family of three.
And they cost like $500,000 to $1 million.
And how are they maintaining those
ridiculous
homes?
I have no idea. And the
homes?
Thing is, when I say $500,000 to $1 million, I'm not kidding. And there are thousands of them. Thousands and thousands of them.
Out in the countryside. And of course, they move out there because they live in fear that their little Courtney just might have to mingle with a little brown baby or a little brown child.
So they want a white.
So they go all the way out to the exurbs, and they live behind gates, of course. And they have their homes at night lit up like Christmas trees because we know the roving bands of brigands that roam the countryside. You just never know when they're going to be armed and dangerous.
But is the lights going to stop them, or is that just so that they can see?
They feel safe. They live out there because they're afraid.
I would say the lights that make it so that they can see them coming.
They drive those ridiculous cars because they're afraid. It's just fear.
Yeah.
So you compensate by the feeling of safety, the mirage of safety. They can't afford it. So no wonder. I mean, who's buying Hummers? Well, who can afford it?
Well, I don't know.
And next, I think we'll be seeing some of these homes up on the auction block.
Oh, absolutely. Because you know why? The mortgage rates went up again.
Yeah. And the heating and cooling.
Well, that too. Especially with the heating, with the oil.
I mean,
Well, listen, we're going to wrap this up, okay?
Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners or speak to the listeners about?
Well, just remember, Archer ate asparagus.
He did not.
No, that's not true. That's right. I'm lying. Archer is afraid of asparagus.
Okay,
that's the real story.
That will be the title of this podcast.
Archer is afraid of asparagus.
Well, now, we got lots of comments. I do want to just mention this before we close up here. We got lots of comments about the burping issue. Remember you brought that up?
Yes.
Well, I actually named a show, Burping is an Issue for Some.
Yeah.
And we heard from, let's see, if I go down to the bottom, Vincent in Malaysia said, go ahead and burp. He doesn't have a problem with it. Andrew says, oh, Andrew was talking about the meat issue. I forgot. I'll talk about that on another show. Thank you, Andrew. Homer says, burping is a natural phenomenon. It doesn't, phenomena. It doesn't bother me. I can't smell it on Archer Radio. Besides, I always laugh. Thank you, Homer. Bert, who's kind of like started the whole thing, says not to do it. Beth says to burp. She doesn't care. Cracks her up. And Aaron says that he's going to listen no matter what, but that I'm an intelligent and articulate. And when that burping comes on, it's just so out of context and character. So we're going to do our best not to burp on the podcast. So could you remember not to burp, please?
Well, I have to admit.
Uh-oh.
Well, I've said this to you. I don't like the burping either.
I know you don't.
Now, your listeners have to keep in mind, I get to hear the burping all the time.
As well as the farts, too, sometimes.
Oh, good Lord. Well, but I haven't liked the burping on air either. But
okay.
I've shared that with you
several times. Yes, you have. Well, we're going to do our best not to burp anymore. So, anyway, that's all for today's show.
It's a bathroom noise.
A burp is not a bathroom noise.
Anything gassy is a bathroom noise.
No, a fart is a bathroom noise. A burp is not a bathroom noise.
But you know
noise.
What? Someone with your level of gassiness.
Yeah.
It should always be in the bathroom.
Well, I would have to live in the bathroom then.
Well, then you'll have to have a bathroom in every room. Where you just go and release your gases.
Okay. Now, would the asparagus make me gassy?
I've never had that experience with asparagus. Maybe you should try eating
asparagus,
green vegetables of some sort. Maybe I don't know.
No, because remember, I'm scared of them.
Give you some roughage.
I'm scared of them. What is the title again? Archer is scared of asparagus.
Archer is afraid of asparagus.
Or is afraid of asparagus. Okay,
that's right.
All right. Well, that's all for today, boys and girls, because we are out of topic. So, and actually, this is running too long as it is. So, say goodbye, boyfriend.
Bye.
Until next time, boys and girls. Bye.
Bye. Archer.